Today's passage is Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He set them in their place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You high mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord.
Before we look at the sermon today, there's an announcement I want to make about next week's sermon. Next week's sermon is the first Sunday of 2020. And I want to set the stage a little bit for what we're going to do all of that year. And I want to let you know ahead of time so that you can begin to think about this. Next week's sermon will have a part that you will participate in. It's not just you're going to sit and listen. There is actually a part that you will have to get up and participate. So I want to let you know that ahead of time so that you can prepare yourself for that. Everyone who comes will receive a gift. Everyone who comes will receive a gift, and you will actually participate during the sermon. So I want to prepare you ahead of time for that, okay? Because I believe deeply that sometimes when we put feet to our decisions, it helps us to walk forward on a spiritual path. So that's why the sermon next week, as we start out talking about the new year and what we're going to be doing in the new year, I think it needs to be a little participatory so that you can truly think a little bit deeper about the commitment you have made to follow Jesus Christ. So if you come next week, you will get a gift. Everybody who comes will get a gift. And you will be asked to do something with that gift. Okay? I just want to give you time to think about that. Some of you probably already just chose that you're not coming next week. And I realize that. But I'm going to tell you this, if you choose not to be here, you're going to miss out on something. You're going to miss out on something that each one of us truly needs. I'm not going to ask you to get up and dance, okay? I'm not going to ask you to get up and pray or give a sermon or any of that, okay? It's going to be very easy. Very comfortable, but I hope it will be very thought-provoking. I hope it will be very thought-provoking. So I ask you to spend some time this week in prayer about it for yourself and for us as a community. Okay? Let's talk about praise. As I was sitting there, I thought about there's another title I could add to this sermon. And that title could be, Who, Why, and what? Who is supposed to be about praise? Why are we supposed to praise? And what is praise? It's a word that we use quite a bit sometimes, isn't it? It's a word that we use that we should be praising God. Praise God for this. Praise God for that. I hope you're like me. I actually sat down this past week and I sat down and I said, what does it mean when I praise? How would I define the word praise? Without looking it up, shouldn't I know what praise is? And shouldn't I be able to explain that to someone else? Because we talk about in the worship service that part of what we do in the worship service is we praise God. Well, what does that actually mean? Have you ever thought about that? How would you define that to someone who has never been to church? Who's supposed to be praising? Why are we supposed to be praising? And what does it mean to praise? Now, this psalm, makes it very easy to see some of the answers to these three questions. It makes it very easy. But sometimes because of the way we are, we think about what's there, we hear what's there, and we pass right over it. And we don't take the time to kind of qualify what's there and what is showing us. So what I want to do is a little bit more teaching this time, because I think it's important that we know what praise is and we know what's supposed to be involved with praise, especially, and why we're supposed to do this. So very simply, praise should happen from all the things in heaven. That's what the very first part of this psalm tells us. All the things in heaven should be about praising God. Verses 1 through 4, listen to this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights above. Praise Him, all you angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly host. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all the shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Everything. Everything in heaven should be about praising God. Now, if you already had in your mind a definition for what praise is, maybe this stretches your definition a little bit. Because it says the stars are supposed to be about praise. The sun is supposed to be about praise. The moon is supposed to be about praise. The water above the skies is supposed to be about praise. You hear all those things? The angels are supposed to be about praise. Angels probably doesn't stretch your definition much. But some of the other things might. What is praise then? But the very first thing this psalm tells us is that all the things in heaven should be about praise. Now the second thing that should participate in praise is found in verses 7 through 12. Praise should happen from all the things on earth. Okay, first we have all heavens. Now we have all the things on earth should be about praising God. Listen to these things. Praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do His bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and of nations and of all nations, you princes and all rulers on the earth, young men and women, old men and children. Who's supposed to be involved in praise? Everything on the earth. Everything. Not just people, but also mice. Okay? It says small creatures, doesn't it? Mice should be about praising God. Now, that's probably the easiest one to pick because every church has mice, right? Somewhere, we just haven't found them here yet. They're bound to be here. especially if it ever gets colder again. It's nice that it's warmed up here for a little bit. But it also says that mountains and hills are to be about praise. It says that trees are to be about praise. It says that lightning and hail and snow should be about praise. Now, does some of those things stretch your definition of what praise is? Because it's easy for us to say, well, we're supposed to be about praise because God created us, and God is a great, great God, an awesome and an incredible and a wonderful God, and we should praise God for that. But then the psalmist adds in all these other things that should also be praising God. You guys know, because we get to hear it every once in a while, I'm surprised it didn't get chosen today. My favorite hymn is a hymn that is ancient, not contemporary, ancient. It has been done by very many contemporary artists, and I love all the different ways that it's been done. So I do like the contemporary artist who used the words of St. Francis of Assisi of the hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. And if you read through that, St. Francis says the same thing that this hymn says. All the heavens are supposed to be about praising God. All the things on earth are to be about praising God. Let me tell you one story about All Creatures of Our God and King. It was so funny. When I was in seminary, somebody planned a worship service for one of our classes, and they used that hymn. And one of the people in the class complained that they didn't like that hymn because I don't like any of these new songs. And somebody had to explain to them that it was written in like the 1200s. It's not a new song. It's not a song that's used very often in churches. And musicians have told me why, although I don't believe them. So I'm sorry, Mary, I'm sorry. The people in my previous church would never play it because they say it's way too hard to play the way it's written. And so musicians don't always like to play the song. So it's not used in our churches a lot. But I would encourage you sometime, go look at the words. The words are almost not different from this psalm. They're almost the same thing throughout the whole thing. And if I remember right, it was written in the 1200s. It was written a long time ago. Well, let's look at the reasons for why we should be about praise. Here's the reasons, okay? And they're found at the end of both of these sections. Verses 5 and 6 talk about why we should praise. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at His command they were created. Why should the heavens praise God? Because God created them. That's why the heavens should praise. And He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that they will never pass away. Why should the heavens and everything in the heavens and the angels and all of that stuff? Because God created them. And God established them. And God said they will last forever and ever. That's why the heavens should be about praising God. And then at the end of the psalm, we have why the earth should be about praising. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And He has raised up for His people a horn, the praise of all His faithful people, of Israel, the people close to His heart. He has raised up for His people a horn. The horns of the altar were a place where people could come and grab a hold of the horn and ask for God's forgiveness, and people had to help them. They were required to help them if people came and grabbed the horns of the altar. The horns of the altar, by the way, were also used to keep the sacrifice on the altar as it was burning so that it wouldn't fall off the sacrifice. Okay? What is our horn now? Our horn is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the horn that has been raised up so that we have a place to grab a hold on to. We have a place to stay on the altar to keep from falling off. Why should we praise God? Because God has established a Savior for us. God has not only created us, maintaining us, and watching over us, and keeping us. So I've answered two of the three questions I told you I was going to answer today. What should participate in praise? I hope you remember the heavens and the earth, everything included in them. Lightning, snow, hail, rain, hills, mountains, stars, sun, and moon. Everything should be about praising God. Why should we praise God? Because God created, established, and God maintains and provides a way for salvation. So what is praise then? What is praise? Especially if all these things are to be participating in praise. Very simply, the very first part of praise is speaking about the greatness of God. That is the very simplest piece of praise. It is about speaking about the greatness of God. Folks, we need to be out in the midst of this world speaking about the greatness of God. That's the first part of praise. We need to let folks know it's not that we just gather together and we praise God and we leave and go our separate ways and that's all the praise we do. Praise should contain every bit and every portion and every part of our lives. Praise should help us to maintain a positive outlook on everything that's going on around us. Okay? I mean, you've heard the old thing about, is this glass half empty or half full? And for wise people, the glass is completely full, by the way. Okay? For those of you that did not know that, the glass is completely full. Whatever liquid's in the bottom or whatever air is on top of it, the glass is completely full. There is no vacuum in half of the glass. So just remember that the next time somebody asks you if this glass is half full or half empty. You say, I'd take choice C. It's completely full. But see, isn't that the way we as Christians should be looking at things? It's completely full. God has provided all and everything and all that we could ever want in an abundance over and above and beyond. And the glass is not just completely full, but it is overflowing. And we should be out in the midst of this world telling people about that. We don't need to tell them about the negative things that are happening in life. I have never met a person that can't see the negative things that are happening in life. Each and every person, oh man, the weather is horrible today. No, it's great because the rain is praising God. Oops, I'm getting ahead of my sermon now. You see, we should be out there telling people how great God is. God has raised a horn up for us that we might be saved and that we have a place to grab a hold of firmness. And the horn is there so that we don't fall off of our commitment. Wow, right? Are we out there telling people that? Nobody told me that until I was 18. Nobody. Which, by the way, would have been almost 40 years ago now. For those of you that are keeping count. Are we out there praising God? It's about speaking about the greatness of God in the midst of life. I opened up a most wonderful conversation with somebody one day by just saying, didn't God give us a great day? And they followed it up by saying, yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you and ask you about Jesus Christ. Can you tell me why Jesus Christ is so important? And all I was positive about the day that God had given us. All I did was praise God in their presence, and they opened the door fully and said, I want to be saved. Can you tell me how to get saved? Folks, I think if we were out there praising God and talking about God and speaking about God in wonderful, fantastic ways and not looking at all, I can pick up the newspaper for all the negative things in life. I can turn on the TV, and I'm not going to mention any channel whatsoever, and find all the negative things in life. I can open up Facebook and find all the negative things in life. Shouldn't we be about speaking about the positive? That's part of praise. Getting out there and speaking about that. Now, here comes the challenging part of what praise is. The second part of praise is living the purpose for which God set for you. The second part of praise is living the purpose for which God set for you. This is how the Son can praise God. This is how the mountains and the hills can praise God. This is how the rain and the lightning and the thunder and the snow, which I'm hoping it's coming soon, and now you guys are not listening to me anymore because you don't want any snow. I want snow. I keep telling Deanne, we moved to the mountains, I want snow. By the way, if it does snow, we'll pass word as quick as we can, okay? Through the deacons, through the Facebook page, through email, okay? If you don't feel safe getting out, listen very carefully, you have my permission to stay home. I will even write you a permission slip if you need one, so that you can hand it to God when you get to heaven and say, the pastor said I didn't have to come because there was ice on my steps. Okay? Use some common sense and wisdom if there's ice and snow out there. Okay? But you see, all those things can praise God by being what God made them to be. For those of you that don't like snakes, snakes serve a purpose in creation. Don't slam them because it was a serpent who deceived Eve. Okay? They serve a purpose. Mice serve a purpose. All of these things serve a purpose in this world. God created them to work together in dynamic and great ways. If we don't have coyotes, then we would have problems with rabbits. If you don't understand that, let me know. Okay? I'll be glad, as a wildlife management person, I'll be glad to sit down and explain to you why we need both coyotes and rabbits. Okay? No coyotes, lots of rabbits, okay? Overrunning everything and eating all of your garden, not just a few sample things, okay? Need both. Serving the purpose, that's praise. Serving the purpose that God has set for it. So I ask you, what part of praise do you need to do more? How do you need to add praise more to your life? Whether it's the speaking about God and the greatness of God, or whether it's living to the purpose that God has set for you, that's praise. That is also praise. Are you doing both parts of praise? Are you doing any parts of praise? Or does praise just happen here and once we leave, it's not part of our lives? Praise is not just part of the worship service. Praise should be part of everything that we do. So I challenge you, how can you incorporate praise more into your daily life? How can you incorporate praise, both parts, into your daily life? Let's pray. Lord, you are gracious to us, and we need to be excited about that, and we need to be out in the midst of this world proclaiming that over and over again with great excitement. How easy it is that we can praise a wonderful product that changes our lives, but how few times we might praise a God who created us, who sustains us, who provides a Savior for us, who loves us in spite of ourselves, who brings comfort and peace and joy in the midst of a world that sometimes only wants to look at the negative things. And then, Lord, help us to find our purpose that you have set specifically for us as an individual and us as a community, that we might be about truly living that to praise you. Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving us such a dynamic and powerful outlook on life. May we take a hold of it completely and live it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.